I suspect that the older ones among us will think of the story we heard read first as the Gadarene swine, which is how the King James Bible describes it. Gadarene was a village near the town of Gadara, so Gerazin and Gadara were actually very much near each other, and so it could have well been either place, or certainly that the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's an area that was known as the Decapolis. And it was a Roman province, just as Judea was, but it was actually mostly populated by Gentiles, that is, people who were not Jewish. And that accounts for one of the perhaps puzzling bits of the story, the pigs. For we know that pigs were regarded as unclean and certainly weren't eaten or used by the Jews. Definitely not a part of Jewish life. And the whole area, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, would have been regarded as definitely foreign, unclean, and not to be associated with. You remember the story of the prodigal son. He goes off to a foreign country and he ends up feeding with the pigs. No depth greater than that, lost both to his people and to God. So, why were Jesus and his disciples in this unclean land of foreigners? Well, if you read a little bit earlier in the chapter, they had just survived a storm. Their ship was sinking until Jesus calmed the storm. The very wind and waves obeyed this man. It had taken them miles from home. They wanted to land. They probably wanted to sort the ship out, get some food and water, and get back home. But as they step ashore, they're met by this naked man who shouts at the top of his voice, "What do you want of me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Don't torture us." Jesus was recognized by this man or the powers within him. Jesus says to them, to the man and the voices that come from him, "What is your name?" An important thing that, if you know the name of a demon, you have power over him. And you could do something about it. And the demon tells Jesus that his name describes not just one, but many. And his name is Legion. And can you imagine, for the people under Roman rule, that name would have a great deal of significance. The Roman legions were all around them, legions of the pagan Roman Empire, hated ungodly rulers. And we hear that Jesus sends the demons into the herd of pigs. They say, "Don't send us back to the abyss." They don't want to go back where the devil rules. They're going to suffer for it. So they go into the pigs. They rush down the hill, fall into the sea, and drown. And the swineherds run off into the town to tell everybody what's happened. And they all come out. And they find this man who was naked, who was living in the tomb, who they tried to chain up. It was what you did with lunatics and people like that in those days. And until, perhaps 100 years ago, and I suspect even now, people are confined by bindings and things when they get too violent. They find him sitting quietly, fully clothed, talking to Jesus. And the people saw this, and they were afraid. Any farmers here? Anybody work on the farms these days? Not many of us in these villages, I'm afraid. But I don't know if your herd of pigs had been destroyed, you'd be pretty upset, wouldn't you? I would certainly have been hopping mad if my livelihood had just disappeared into the sea like that. They see this madman who had terrified the neighbourhood, dressed and quietly talking to the man from across the sea. They must have been afraid. Very afraid. This was power that they were in the presence of. Here is a man, Jesus, they may have heard his name, they may have heard something of his reputation, but who, by a word, can control demons and send hundreds of pigs across the cliff. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to herd pigs. It's an impossible job. They will go in any direction but the one you want them to. And here we see this man just sitting calmly and enjoying the company of Jesus. They are in the presence of a power that they cannot understand, and they are frightened. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of God brings understanding. There are things in life which, although they may seem benign and friendly, that we should be wary of, that we should respect. Respect is a word that's lost its meaning these days, hasn't it? Or revere, be in awe of. You can see I've been through the dictionary this morning. We love the gentle breeze and we love going swimming, but we should fear the power of tornadoes, hurricanes, floods and tsunami. And almost every day on the news we hear something about one or other of those. We know the destruction that even the gentle breeze and the still water can cause. We need to understand something about Jesus. He is our friend and he is our brother. But Jesus, our God, is all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows our very thoughts, and he is everywhere. That is a God who is awesome in the true sense of the word, deserving of our awe. Sometimes in the King James Bible it talks about fear of the Lord. Well, fear is respect and awesomeness. It's not being frightened. But we should never take Jesus for granted. That awesomeness of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it is the knowledge of God that brings understanding. And we learn about God through reading the Bible, through prayer, through sharing worship as we do with other Christians like this morning. We can, of course, never fully understand God any more than most of us perhaps can understand how a computer works. I was talking to a research computer chap yesterday, and he's been working on computers and he can't understand what other people are doing in some parts of the world. There is so much that he can only understand a little part of it. It has been said that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and sometimes if you think you know what you're doing but you don't really understand, you can get yourself into real trouble. But the more that we know and understand about Jesus, the better we will be able to do his will. The better Christians we will be. Knowing Jesus, knowing his teaching, leads us to be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Because remember that Jesus still has the power to calm the storm at sea. He has the power to confront and defeat evil. He has the power to change lives. And those people in that story saw it and recognized that power. They were afraid. We should meet it with joy. And we can know the power of Jesus in our lives. When we are baptized, we become part of God's family. And he knows us by name. That's why we should never mock or change people's Christian names. They are the name by which we are known to God. We are his children. And he gives us the rights as sons and daughters. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples. And it is because of that power that Christianity has spread through the world. And that power is as much today as it was in those early Christians. So believe and trust in Jesus, and we can step out in the power of his Spirit and achieve so much more than we can do on our own. We can be the people that God wants us to be. As baptized Christians, we have no need to be afraid, but we should be in awe of God's power and what he can do in people's lives. What he can do in your life. Amen.